A look into internet life behind the Great Firewall of China. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. This week, activist shareholders in Alphabet, the parent company of Google, spoke out against development of Google's Dragonfly. That's the internal codename for a project reportedly working on a censored search engine for China. We hear a lot about web censorship in China, but how does it work? What's it like to use it? We called Marketplace correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Before we officially started the interview, Jennifer wanted to check something with Bing, the one U.S. search engine that operates in China. Yeah, Bing. It wasn't going well.
Well, you're experiencing what it's like to have the internet in China, which is that I have to switch between turning on and off a VPN, which takes forever, and now I have to restart my computer.
Jennifer has reported from inside China for years. She says censorship is getting stronger.
It used to be that if you had steered clear of what we call the three T's, Tiananmen, Tibet, and Taiwan, talking about the sensitive topics about independence or the protests that happened in Tiananmen, then you're pretty much safe. But increasingly, this list has gotten longer and longer, and it changes day by day. So in some instances, if it's a banned search term, you will get a message that says, sorry, you are trying to access something that is in violation of Chinese law. So you know that it happened. But there are other instances where you just get a limited number of search results, but you don't even really know that it's been censored.
Do Chinese people even call it censorship? I mean, that's what we would call it here. But like when you're living it, how do you refer to it?
I don't think that the majority of people in China realize that what they're getting is censored, because remember, their media here is also censored. And I have to say, the internet works very fast if you are restricting yourself to just Chinese tools, searching in the Chinese language within China. The problem happens when you're trying to access websites outside, or you're trying to access Chinese language websites which have sensitive information, negative information about mainland China. That's when it becomes a bit more difficult to access. But it's not completely shut off, because sometimes people will say, well, I can still get it. There are tools and ways to get around it. But the purpose of censorship in China is not to stop all information from coming in. It's just to stop the average person in China, to make it difficult enough for them to access these websites that they just eventually give up.
Does censored search have any kind of economic impact? And I mean, like, does it lead people to make less informed decisions about business or like household finance?
Business and economic news and information used to be quite open. And for business journalists, it used to be very open as well. But increasingly, they're facing a lot of pressure to not report the news, because now economics has become political, right, with the U.S.-China trade tensions and all of that.
Jennifer Pak is Marketplace's China correspondent. You know, I asked her how she gets through the Great Firewall online. She wouldn't say. Didn't want the government to catch on and block her workarounds. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.